For those who've been here in recent weeks, yes, it is me again giving the message again. I promise you it won't be me next week. So, hey, you don't need to sound that pleased. I have feelings. Okay, turn to the person next to you. I want you to tell them, who is your hero? You don't need to mention me by name. Who's your hero? And I know we're a church. You're not allowed to say Jesus because that's too obvious. Apart from Jesus, who is your hero? Okay, let's draw back together. Anybody want to shout out who their hero is? Apparently, Keris's hero is Poldark. That was popular. Anybody else? Steve?
Dawn.
What a suck-up answer. Anybody else? King David. Did you say Desmond Tutu? I thought I just heard the word Tutu. I was like... Was that a Star Trek answer? That's really nerdy. Anybody else?
Ronaldo.
Oh dear. Anyway, moving on. In recent times, superheroes are really a big deal, aren't they? Like, if you know, the comic books have been around for years, but the last 10, 20 years, superhero movies have been the big thing, haven't they? Big money, loads of people interested in them. There's different ones. Iron Man, I like Iron Man. Does anyone else like Iron Man? I like Iron Man. Yeah, a few hands up. Or we've got Batman, bit darker. I quite like Batman as well. Ant-Man, he's a bit more obscure, but he's still got a film. Ant-Man. And of course, Superman. Super old man, maybe. For the benefit of those who are listening to this online, there is a picture of Superman's body with Andy Hickford's head imposed on top of it. When Andy first saw this, he felt that Superman wasn't muscular enough to be his body double. So rule number one of getting a hero, somebody who has, you know, accurate self-perception. But our culture's really into superheroes at the moment, isn't it? People love superheroes. I think there's a few reasons why we're like that. Maybe we have this kind of inbuilt desire to see somebody save the day when things look bad. Maybe someone like this. Someone saved the day when things look bad. We like the idea of a hero. Now, in the first century, Jewish people were looking for a hero. They had the Old Testament. They knew it inside out. People were expecting a hero, but they used this word Messiah. That was their special Hebrew word for a hero. And people debated what that meant, but he was definitely going to be a hero of some sort. And there was also the small matter of Roman occupation. That wasn't popular. And the hope was, the expectation was, one day, our Messiah, our hero, is going to come and everything will be good. He'll sort everything out. He'll kick out the Romans. He'll be our hero. Everything will be great. And then Jesus shows up in the first century and people don't really know what to do with him. Is he the Messiah? Is he not? Does he fit the expectation? Does he not? And there's all this debate. And we're going to look at a very short story about when a man called Nathanael meets Jesus and comes to his own conclusions. Let's read. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one who Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You're the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that." So this is in the early days of Jesus' ministry, his public ministry. At this point, he is not the most famous person who's ever lived like he is now. At this point, he's a carpenter from an obscure northern Jewish town who is fairly impressive to people that have met him. That's who he is. And at the beginning here, it mentions a little group of connected people who've started to think that he's somebody special. Philip, Andrew, Peter. These are not just kind of lone weirdos. This is a group of mates who are really just amazed by Jesus, and they're finding out more. And Philip, in particular, is a big Jesus fan. He's a fanboy. And we don't know what the background is to that, but he goes to his friend Nathaniel, and he just recommends Jesus to him. But he's not just impressed. He's not just impressed. His statement is loaded with meaning. This is not something people would say every day. We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets wrote. He's basically saying, this bloke Jesus, the carpenter from up the road, is the fulfillment of our civilization. People don't say stuff like that every day, do they? He's the one all those Old Testament references are about. What are things to say? In recent weeks, we've been looking at different Old Testament characters as a church and seeing how there's all these threads, all these stories that run through the Old Testament that lead on to Jesus' story. And Philip's saying, I found him, I've met him. I know who it is that all of those Old Testament threads converge on. I found him. That's what Philip's saying. And Nathaniel is not very impressed. He's not impressed, which is fair enough. Philip, come on, you can't just throw around claims like that. You can't just say things like that. And his mind's racing, surely not. Jesus, do you mean Joseph's son? The guy from Nazareth? Nazareth, nothing good can come from there. You see, he's thinking, well, you know, if our country has this kind of Messiah figure, this hero, he's going to come from Jerusalem. That's the big city. That's the center of our spiritual life. Surely the most important person, like you're saying he is, surely the most important person can't come from Nazareth. So Nathaniel's he's a bit of a snob. He rates people and ideas based on where they come from. Jesus is from this unimportant northern town. It's basically the Blackpool of first century Israel. It's Nowheresville. And Nathaniel is from a similar area, and he's thinking, no, can't be true. Not Nazareth. Nothing good comes out of Nazareth. Nothing good. And lots of people do this with Jesus still today, don't they? Even 2,000 years ago. Oh, it can't be true. I know about this Christianity stuff. It's been in our culture for years. I know better. Nothing good for me can come out of there. Nothing can come from there. So Nathaniel's not really impressed, but he has a good friend. And Philip doesn't have a big argument with him. He just says, come and see. Come and have a look. Okay, you might not believe me, but check this out. I'm confident enough in this Jesus character that I'm willing for you to come and see what he's about, and I'm confident that you're going to agree with me when you've checked. So they go and find Jesus, and it's funny because the first thing Jesus says isn't about himself and all his Messiah qualifications. That's not the first thing he starts with. He says something about Nathaniel, and it seems Jesus has this special insight into his life. Now, it's possible that Nathaniel liked to pray and dwell on God under an actual fig tree. But this phrase, under the fig tree, that's used here, it was quite common. And basically, it was kind of a colloquial expression that meant that you were looking at the Old Testament. You were dwelling on the things of God. Now, you might literally sit under a fig tree because it was shaded. It was a good place to sit down and relax. But that's how this phrase was understood. So Nathaniel is a man, it's likely, who spent time in prayer and looking at the Bible, and Jesus says to him, I saw you there. In other words, Nathaniel, I know what you're like. I know what you do with your time. I know what sort of man you are. You're looking for God, and you're very dedicated to that task. Jesus is actually, he's very complimentary to Nathaniel. He doesn't say, but you're also a snob, and you've ruled me out because I don't come from the place where you expect that I should. Maybe Nathaniel started to think this himself. Oh, I'm a bit of a stop. And then Nathaniel replies again, Rabbi, you're the Son of God. You're the King of Israel. Now here's a question. Does Nathaniel believe a bit too easily? It's quite a jump, isn't it? You know, he just kind of from nowhere suddenly seems to say, you know, he goes from not believing at all to you're the King of Israel. He changes from a skeptic to believing that Jesus is the hero that Israel has been waiting for. It seems instantaneously. Well, this text, which is in John's Gospel, is probably not showing us the whole conversation. It's just a summary. And it's probably hinting that there was a longer conversation where Jesus discussed with Nathanael, a man who knew the Old Testament very well, what all these threads were leading to. And Nathanael is persuaded, which is no mean feat. He's a knowledgeable man, he's thoughtful, he doesn't just believe wild things because somebody tells him to. But look at these titles that he attaches to Jesus. They're both very powerful. Nobody would easily come to the conclusion that anyone was the Son of God, because in Jewish belief, God's up here and we're down here. So you don't throw around titles like this. This is not just, oh, they're first century people, they're stupid. This is not what they did. But equally, to say that Jesus was the king, at a time when Roman occupation meant Israel had a puppet king, was a huge statement. Nathanael is saying, Jesus, you are the fulfillment of what our nation is about, and you're the true leader of our people, and you have the nature of God. There's nowhere higher he can go. This is not just a statement. This is worship. That's what Nathanael's doing. He's saying, Jesus, you are our hero, but I think that you're more than our hero. I think you're even more. You're the ultimate thing. That's where he's got to. So in what I believe is a longer conversation, Nathanael moves from kind of arms folded, suspicious, skeptic, to this wide-eyed, amazed believer in Jesus. Let's not underestimate this. At this time and place, people were not easily persuaded that someone was divine. Not, you know, and nobody is at any time in history, not when they actually meet them. Recently read the amazing story of this man, and his name is Jang Jin Sung. And Jin Sung, he grew up in North Korea. And if you know anything about North Korea, the whole nation, the whole culture is built around a kind of cult of personality and deification of the Kim family. So we're now in the third generation of leadership of the Kim family. And the whole nation is basically told from, you know, everybody from birth, everything you hear is these people are effectively gods. That's what people told in North Korea. And this is Jing Sung's story. He says, I didn't just think Kim Jong-il, that was the leader at the time, was great. I thought he had divine powers. In North Korea, the deification of the Kim family is systematic. In my job at the government, I wrote poetry and literature to earn sympathy for the state and our leader. Kim Jong-il loved one of the poems so much, I was invited to meet him. It was the greatest honor a man could hope for. But when I met him, my vision was shattered. I realized he was human like me and started to question the flawless narrative around him. Soon after, I was asked to work on a propaganda document that meant I had access to archive material. The stories I read were wildly different to those imparted by the government. And soon after that, Jin Sung managed to escape the country. He got out of North Korea. So do you see the contrast? This man spent his entire life being told by everybody that Kim Jong-il was a hero and more, that he was divine. A quick meeting with him, and he thought, no, not buying it, not in the slightest. Jesus entered a culture that was pre-programmed to believe that nobody even could be God, and hundreds of people who spent time with him ended up concluding that he was. That is remarkable. Whatever else you think about Jesus, that is remarkable. And Nathanael's one of those people. And look, Jesus doesn't try and dampen this down. Even the most arrogant person, if you said to them in front of other people, hey, I think you're the king and the savior and our hero and you're our God, they'd be a bit embarrassed. Even the most arrogant person, you know, would say, well, I'm impressive, I know, but steady on there. You know, I'm not that great. But Jesus effectively just goes, yep. And he promises better to come. You believe because you saw that I had some insight into who you truly are, but hold on, because it gets better and better. Wait and see what I do. Wait and see what I'm going to do. And the rest of John's gospel tells that story. You see, Jesus says to Nathanael, he'll see greater things than Jesus' knowledge of him. Jesus knows him. From Nathanael's point of view, this man, this hero that he has come to believe is God, knows him fully. What could be greater than that? Only one thing. Jesus not only knows Nathanael, he's the one who'll save him and all of his people from their pride, their bitterness, their insecurity, all the things that get between them and God. All covered by Jesus' death and resurrection, which is what John's gospel leads up to. Wait and see what I'm going to do, Nathanael. This will really blow you away. This is amazing. What's this got to do with us? Well, here's the big question. How far do you go with Jesus? Is he your great example? Is he your great role model? Is he your hero? Is he someone you respect and admire and you name check every so often when you're in a partnership group or you're talking to people about faith? Let me ask this in another way. Is Jesus only your hero? Is he only your hero? Are you able to go further like Nathaniel ends up doing? Can you say, yeah, Jesus, you're not just a great figure, but you're God and you're King, and actually you're the most important person in my life? Some of us here have been churchgoers for years, and we're still working on that question. Jesus is supposed to be more than a hero. He demands it. Nathaniel, for all of his questions and his misunderstanding and a little bit of snobbery, ends up getting it. He gets there. So here's a suggestion. Some of us could do with being a little bit more like Philip. Philip was confident enough in what he knew about Jesus to let others explore what he was about. All he does to his friend is say, come and see. He invites him. There's nothing to worry about, nothing to hide. He's just confident that Jesus stands up to scrutiny when people have a look. So how can you invite people to check Jesus out for themselves? There's nothing to worry about. I'm not just saying bring people to church, although that might be a good thing. What can you do to invite people just to have a look? That's all we want to do as a church. That's what we want to do as Maybridge Community Church. Nothing heavy-handed, just invite people to have a look. Philip really doesn't do much else than give this invitation, and then his mate's life gets completely changed. Philip has a very small part in it, really. Some of us could do with being a bit more like Nathaniel. We might have some doubts and questions like he did, and that's fine. Let me invite you to keep asking questions, investigate Jesus. Nathaniel was well-versed in the Bible. That's how he kind of thought it all through. He considered it. He did his homework. But let me also say this. As things stand, someone is your hero, and it's quite probably yourself. If it isn't Jesus, it's quite probably yourself. So why don't you question that too? Why don't you investigate yourself and see if you really think you're trustworthy to be your own hero and more? And then have a look at Jesus. As a church, we do something called Alpha. It's every Tuesday evening with food. It's a great place to find out about Jesus, ask questions, get to know people, 100% free. And we run this because we think this stuff is really worth talking about. We believe Jesus is worth investigating and he stands up to inspection. The next one of these Alpha things starts on Tuesday the 3rd of October. You'd be really welcome to come. You could be like Philip and invite somebody else to take a look, or you could be like Nathaniel and just invite yourself. Take a bit of initiative yourself. But that might not be the position you're in. You see, the other thing about Nathaniel is that even though he was cautious and he was skeptical, he became convinced by what he saw of Jesus. He didn't just ask questions till the day he died. He had enough that he knew he could trust Jesus. Some of us are in that position. Been around church for a while. We've still got questions. Who hasn't? But we know enough. We know enough to say, yes, Jesus is who he said he is. Yes, he's the hero we need. Yes, he's the Son of God. And actually, everything else is details. We know enough. If that's you, it is time to do something about it. Baptism service is quite a good time. I'd love to chat with you at the end if that is you. Baptism this morning sees Jane publicly saying, yeah, I'm following this person, Jesus. He is the hero that I need and more. That's the 21st century way of saying what Nathaniel said. It's a wonderful thing. Now, there's one superhero I didn't mention earlier, Thor. I like Thor as well. Anyone else like Thor? Yeah, Nat likes all of them. In most superhero movies, and I've seen most of them because I like these things, an unlikely character who nobody was expecting becomes a hero, beats the odds, overcomes a great danger, and rescues humanity. That's pretty much the plot of every superhero film, isn't it? All of them. And in some cases, you know, I think all of them have this kind of relation to the story of Jesus, but in some cases more blatant. If you've seen the Thor movie, don't want to make any spoilers for you here, but in the Thor movie, this is what happens. A God-man comes to Earth, minus his divine privileges, faces a powerful enemy, lays down his life for his friends, miraculously returns to life, and then gloriously rules the universe with his dad. Not only do we want a hero, Not only do we love stories about heroes, we can't even tell original stories about heroes without them all going back to the greatest hero story. Always happens. It's like we were written for the hero story. It's like where he's where all of the threads lead, isn't it? Let's continue to sing to him.